This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Alex Lowe, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, it is indeed. Alex Lowe, I'm here with FUBAR Radio. That's the first time I've ever heard that jingle. Do they call them jingles nowadays, or is it a promo? I don't know. It's lovely to be here. We're at the Underbelly in a lovely, sunny Edinburgh. I've got some incredible guests coming here today. I'm absolutely delighted. And there's even an audience. Make some noise. I said noise. Doesn't matter. We have on the show today, oh my goodness, we have got the one and only Mark Thomas, who's just flown in through the door at a great pace. So glad you make it, Mark. Don't know what we can do if you hadn't got here, but well done. We have also got the wonderful Beardy Man. We've got Craig Hill, and we've got the one and only, yes, she's in the house. Let me hear you say, Maggie, 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 in. Maggie, in. Doesn't matter. So plenty to get through over the next hour, and we've got to crack on. But introduce myself. My name is Alex Lowe. I'm doing any number of things at the festival. I'm doing the Missing Hancock episodes at the Assembly Rooms with Simon Greenall, Kevin McNally, Susie Kane, and Robin Sebastian. I'm playing Bill Kerr, who is by far the least funny of the four. And I've just written a play about Bob Monkhouse, which is on the Assembly Room at the Assembly Hall. And tonight I open doing my Barry from Watford show at the Pleasance Above. But it's not all about me. No, it really isn't. Please welcome onto the stage the one and only Mr. Mark Thomas. Come on. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Great to see you. Yeah, great. Thanks. Thanks so much for getting here. Well, Mark, you know, I am absolutely intrigued with your show. Could you tell me what it's about? Because it sounds like you're occupying somewhere. Is that correct?
Not quite.
No.
What it is about is the fact that loads and loads of public space is being bought up by private companies. And when private companies buy public space, they bring in new laws, new regulations, and their own private security company. And what that means is it changes how you behave in public space, and it undermines democratic laws. So basically, I go into places and do fairly low-level things and wait for them to react to it and then play.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I live in Watford. We have the Harlequin Shopping Centre. A few years ago, I did a show in Edinburgh about this sort of thing and about the sort of homogenisation of towns all across the country. Fake marble shopping centres, pedestrianised walkways with all the same shops. And when I went in there to try and take photos, what was once, you know, a huge amount of land in Watford where I live suddenly is private property, and I wasn't allowed to take a photo, and I was suddenly pounced upon by security guards.
Well, that's kind of the gig, that you can't, and this happens all over the country.
Yeah.
So you can go to Edinburgh, you can go to Newcastle, you can go to Liverpool, and you'll find not just shopping centres, but it's like in the city of London, the reason that the Occupy movement ended up outside St Paul's is because St Paul's Cathedral, the yard in front of it, is the only public space that is not owned by a corporation in the city of London.
Yeah.
Right, that's all there is left.
Yeah, sure.
And that dynamic not just changes people's behaviour and undermines democratic law, but it also is part of gentrification, so it's shoving people out.
Yeah.
So basically, what I've done throughout my career is go into places and do something and annoy people and watch them react and then come back and tell the story.
Yeah. I particularly remember the tank. Is that the thing that everyone remembers you for, the tank on the street?
Some people have seen things that I've done in the past 20 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, the tank was about 20 years ago.
Oh, right, yeah. But
talking about the tank.
Went
those
through
of you
the,
who don't know, what happened was I took a tank through a McDonald's drive-in.
and basically just wanted to see what we could do, what we could get through a McDonald's drive-in.
Yeah.
And we took a tank through the McDonald's drive-in and tried to get service. They went nuts. We took a clown car that was lovely because the clown car arrived. And what's very sweet is they're clowns. So they're used to fighting for attention and space in a circus, unforgiving environment. And so the manager would come up and just go, stop, stop, stop. And he'd be shouting at me. And one of the clowns would be, oh, I've dropped my trousers. You know, and a bit of the car would fall off and all of that. We also took a punk band around on a low loader, ordering their French fries very loudly. And I took a herd of cows through, which was, we'd turn up at the window and we'd just go, just fries, don't mention anything else.
Yeah.
So, but that was, yeah, so that was a long time ago.
If they were British cows, you could have had, they probably had the milk McShakes. CJD, it's an old joke. It goes back to something. Now, listen, what I wanted to ask you, getting back to your current show, is...
just very quickly before I challenge you on your use of the word joke, yeah, go on.
What I want to ask you is, it says here, no one knows where the show is going to end up, so join him on the start of the project. That's what I meant. Is everyone meeting at the Summer Hall and then going off on some ramble to somewhere that's...
No, there is... That's quite an interesting interpretation.
So it doesn't,
what we do is there is a show.
Yeah.
And I perform the show. Right. But there will be things that people can come along to and join in. Like we did a gig recently, part of the Thames Footpath, which is a national trail and everyone has a right of use. And the thing about this is if you're on a national trail and you have a right of way, legally it's as much a highway as the M1. Mm. Okay, so although the land might belong to someone else, you've got a right to use it. And there's a footpath. Part of the footpath is inside a building. So they've negotiated the rights and they've negotiated access and they've negotiated benefits for the owners. But to get to this footpath, which is a terrace inside a building, you have to know it's there. You have to come in off the street. You have to spot that you've got access. You've got to go through the building, past security, through another set of doors to get onto this terrace, which you're entitled to. And so what I like to do is to try and get things, events that will make use of that space. So we had a whole load of us, there's 150 of us, met up by Tower Bridge, and we said we're going to do a comedy gig. And we had Attila the Stockbroker, the ranting poet. We had Josie Long. We had myself, Tiffany Stevenson. We had Tien and Diyub and Duyeb. And then we had Chris Coltrane. And we basically walked all the way from, well, it's a short distance from Tower Bridge to this space. And I'd said to everyone, look, if the police might get called. And if the police get called, we all have to leave. But if a small group of us re-enter the space, we have a right to re-access because it is a footpath. And if we're under 20, then we're not an assembly. So if there's a group of 15 people who'd like to volunteer, that if we get kicked off, you'll come back in and just walk backwards and forwards in on the terrace with a comic who will walk with you and be a peripatetic performer, then we are completely within the law. Mm. So that was our fallback position. So what we did was we turned up, 150 of us, and there was no security. So I just buzzed the buzzer, and this voice just went, what do you want? I said, I want access to the terrace, please. And they went, all right, we'll open the door. So they opened it, and just 150 of us ran through, opened up a comedy club. People had brought all sorts of stuff. So we said to people, bring things to share, because that's what we always ask people to do. So people had brought fruit and drinks, and they brought cake and biscuits and sandwiches, and just was sharing with everyone. So we have this lovely event, which is like a free gig on the Thames, and everyone brings along grub for everyone else.
Fantastic. So do you ever feel like you might just want to go back to telling jokes? Or I mean, do you see yourself as a comedian, a political agitator, a pain in the ass? What is your what title would you give yourself? And do you ever think, God, I'd just like to write a joke and not storm the barricades?
Well, I think all the stuff that I do is I stopped calling myself a stand-up, I suppose, about 18 years ago. The work that I do is a mixture of stand-up and theatre and journalism with a dash of performance art chucked in for good measure.
Right.
And when people say, how would you describe yourself? I always go for either creative human or pain in the arse. Professional pain in the arse. If they still had that on passports, pain in the arse. That would be great.
On this blurb, Guinness World Record holder, most number of political demonstrations in 24 hours.
Yeah.
You hold that record.
I did.
Who came down? Norris McWhirter, Roy Castle, come down to see doing
they,
that?
They died a few years ago, and if they had, that would have been a remarkable event.
That would
event.
Have been amazing.
That would have been with the aid of a Ouija board, we present you.
UN Association Global Human Rights Defender Award, which is...
That was great. They phoned me up and said, would I like to be a Global Human Rights Defender? And I said, yes, if I can have a cape.
Yeah, Kurdish National Congress Medal of Honour.
Yeah, I've got a Kurdish National Congress Medal of Honour. Yeah, that's right.
When you travel abroad and you use a passport, I mean, when you enter certain countries, is there always a danger that the geezer's going to look you up on some, you know, records and prevent you from coming in?
Yeah, but I mean, there's ways of getting in and out of places. I was going through a couple of years ago. I walked the entire length of the Israeli wall in the West Bank. So I rambled the whole thing, which is 723 kilometres long. And I'd walk on both sides, talking to everyone. And we went out. I was working with the cameraman, and we left after 2 weeks because it was Christmas, and I had to get home to my family. And we were going to come back, and do the rest of the walk in two sections. But loads of people we were working with got arrested, and it wasn't due to me. It was due to the fact there was a clampdown on activists. And so we thought, oh my God, we've got to get in there quickly, and we can only do one walk, so how do we do it? So he said, okay, we're going to go back into Israel. We're going to go through security at Tel Aviv. We are going to not be connected. We are going to sit apart, we'll book our tickets apart, we will queue in different sections of the queue. When we go through and they asked us questions, we try not to lie, but we try to be when they said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing a book. And they said, what's your book about? And I said, it's about walking. And they said, well, this we had this lovely advice, this Palestinian said, when they ask you what you are doing, you must say, I'm writing a book about birds and flowers. And I said, I don't know anything about birds and flowers. He said, you will know more than the Israeli army, trust me. So I arrived at this thing, and we queued up, myself and the cameraman, Phil, and we tried to get in these different lanes to get up through security. And I arrive at this thing. I put my passport down in front of this young woman who is soldier and doing her military service at the security. And suddenly another passport lands on top of mine, and it's Phil's. And I look around, and Phil is standing there. And this woman just goes, why are you here? And I said, I'm writing a book about birds and flowers. And she said, and what's he to you? And I said, he's a friend. And Phil looked at her and just went, a very special friend. And the woman just went, go on, in you go, the pair of you. And just kind of stamped us through because Phil camped it up, which was a great, which was lovely. There's always ways of getting into places. There's always ways of getting through places.
So this is something I wanted to ask. The comedy now, I mean, we've got... Do you think it's going to go back to the sort of early 80s polemical thing? I mean, for a long time, there was a sort of... what's better, cats or dogs?
I think this is a complete myth. For every Alexis Sayle and Ben Elton, there was a Rick Mayall and Aidan Edmondson.
Right.
So for every kind of Margaret Thatcher, there was, you know, Rick Mayall shoving a firework in Aidan Edmondson's pants or what have you.
Yeah.
So I think it's this myth. I think it's a myth that all you had to do was walk on and go, Margaret Thatcher, and everyone would rise and carry you around it.
Yes.
I think that is complete cack.
Well, we've got Margaret Thatcher on in a minute, so we'll see what the audience make of her.
Yeah, the nearest you're going to get to her, I think you're absolutely right. I think that what has happened, there's been massive changes that have happened within comedy, and lots of it good. Lots of it is good stuff. But the big change I think that's happened is that people now, when I started, it wasn't a career. It wasn't, you couldn't go on to you wouldn't have a telly career mapped out that you would follow a route. It was just you were making stuff up and sort of bumbling along. Now I think then people came to see stand-up shows. Well, they weren't stand-up shows, they were cabaret shows. So you'd have a mixture of poets and musicians and performance artists and, you know, double acts and weirdness. There used to be, one of my favourite acts at the time was a guy called the Iceman, who used to do a 20-minute act where he would try and melt a large block of ice in 20 minutes as a homage to the myth of Sisyphus. And at the end of each attempt, it would finish, his 20 minutes would finish, he would number each block of ice, and it really was enormous. And he would just go, block number 33, I admit defeat, and then would walk off. Those kind of acts are kind of like being pushed to the sidelines, I suppose. And now people, it's dominated by stand-up. There is a career structure that telly got used to the fact that actually there are a whole load of people who wanted to be on telly and would do it cheaply and provide their own material and have provided all the rehearsal for it and had vested interest in making it work, which was very cheap compared to getting actually a sitcom off the ground.
Yeah.
So loads of telly shows happened, loads of comedy shows started to happen, they became a career, and people started to go and see cabaret and stand-up because they had seen those people on telly.
Yeah.
Rather, when I started doing it, people just went to see it because you couldn't see this stuff on telly. Now I think people go because they've seen it on telly. And then, you know, you spend a small fortune going to see someone live because you've seen them on the telly, and you're sitting in an arena watching big screens.
That's right.
Which seems somewhat ironic to
me. So do you ever go to get to see the kind of grassroots comedy nowadays?
Oh, no, I just get carried around in a large bubble on a sedan chair. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Of course I do, don't be.
You do, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you...
I was at the Free Fringe yesterday seeing Tina Dujep, who is absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really good show, and he's at the Liquid Room if anyone wants to go and see him. He's free. He's great.
Right. And what about the telly stuff? Is there any... you know, occasionally I work for Vera, Jeff Atkinson. Vera.
I know, Jeff, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he's always... I mean, he's keeping the flag flying for stuff, isn't he? You know, for slightly more kind of political stuff, for want of a better phrase. Is there anything in the pipeline on the telly development?
No.
No. Maybe after this?
I looked out of my window today and checked, and hell still remained unfrozen. So there is no chance, no.
Right, okay. Well, look, let's
just... Let me tell you, when the last meeting I had with a television executive, I went in to meet some television people, and I went in with a mate, because I always think if you're going to meet television people, you should treat it like a union disciplinary hearing, and you should have a rep or a friend.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and this... commissioning editor said, we've got this idea for a show for you to do. And then they said the name of the show. And I just went, whoa. And my mate just went, don't say anything else because he'll only go outside and repeat it. And the name of the show was...
Bake Off.
No. It was... The show they wanted me to do was Celebrity Guantanamo Bay. And I walked out of that room and I have never been on television since.
Were you going to be a convict or a torturer?
I hadn't even got round to considering that point. It's just the word Celebrity Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Really, it's time we left each other's company before I stab you in the neck.
I can think of a few celebrities I'd like to see forced into solitary for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, well, I think we'd probably disagree on the fact that celebrities have got many crimes to answer for, but actually sort of random interment is not a good thing, and I think we have to say that on principle we wouldn't
do that. Well, look, let's...
No matter that it would be Clarkson, you really shouldn't. Yeah.
So, Mark, I know you've got to go. You're a very busy man. Yes. He's in and out. We're delighted to have him. Let's just remind everyone.
It's lovely to see everyone just sitting in the back there. Hello, Margaret, and hello, Craig. Yeah. How are you?
Mark, you're on at Summer Hall.
Which is lovely. It's like it's like the weird kind of arts and crafts latitude of the festival.
And it's 5 p.m., preview 6, oh, we've done that, 7th to the 30th of August. Please go along. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Thomas, how about that?
Thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you. Well, look, we're going to move on. We got so much to pack in. We've got to keep going. And this, I mean, we are honoured to have here the one and only Beardy Man. Yes, he's in the room. I was going to say studio. I was going to say theatre. It's a lecture theatre. Please welcome Beardy Man.
That's right, welcome to Celebrity Guantanamo Bay. Here's your host, Mark Thomas.
Hello, hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Celebrity Guantanamo Bay. Tonight's week we have Annika Rice, Anne Thea Turner, and Yvette Fielding, who will be waterboarded and... In actual fact, we won't. That will never happen. Until there is the coming of the Kraken, who will destroy TV executives. Did you do it? Yeah, yes, you did. Did you walk out of the meeting? Because you don't like to see people in orange take beatings. They're deprived from eating. I don't want to be bleating like a sheep. It's all about the sheeple. No, it's not. Keep it fresh with the people. Say, after 3, we're not going to go out that way. We're going to do it.
don't believe the hype. Hi, don't believe the hype. Hi, don't believe the hype. Hi, don't believe the hype. Hi.
Thanks.
How about that, Beardy Man? Woo! Come and take a seat. Now, for those who don't know, well, I'm sure you all do. All the listeners of FUBAR will know this. Bearded Man makes music purely with his mouth. Drum, bass, guitar, singing, 60 million views on YouTube. The obvious question is, when did you first realise you could do this? And when are you going to get a proper job?
I can tell you've been hanging out with my dad. I go, yeah. Full disclosure.
Yeah, just to say that Bearded Man's dad was my accountant for a while. That takes the edge off it, doesn't it? And his brother... Jay Foreman, fantastic stand-up comic. I've done a lot of work with over the years.
So you call it say work.
Say work, yeah. Arsing around. About, yes. So Beardy, tell me, how did that happen? How did you first get into this?
I don't ask my dad what they did wrong. He would have wanted me to have a job. I don't know. Since I was able to talk, I was less interested in talking and more interested in like mimicking the sound of engines and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
Useless skill.
Absolutely.
Useless skill, but lots of fun.
Fantastic. The show you do here, I mean, just like, you know, we heard just then, is making up something, improvising something on the spot. I mean, has that always been what you do? I mean, you don't come in with any sort of ideas you've been working on.
No, see... So not only do I not have a proper job, but I don't even do the not job that I do properly.
Yeah.
I'm determined to do to do no work, and, not just little.
The show you're doing here is called One Album Per Hour.
Yep.
And how does that work then?
So the audience writes down made-up song titles that aren't songs yet, and it's up to me to make their made-up song titles into actual songs.
Right. Could we... I know we had one just now... If we turn to our huge audience here at the Underbelly, I wonder if there's anybody who wanted to give a title. It can be the weirdest, maddest thing going, can't it? I watched a YouTube clip of you today, and what was that one about? My Little Pony is a Slut.
It was that, yeah.
Yeah, that was an enjoyable one. Yeah. Gareth, My Little Pony. Exactly. So it can be the weirdest, wonderfulest thing ever. What is a title for Beardy Man to make a tune to? Anyone?
There are 700 people here, but there's no ideas.
Can you hear me, Underbelly? Can we have a title, please, for Beardy?
Last night a chocolate changed my life.
Last night a chocolate changed my life. Thank you very much.
Cool, okay. Can we get a style that should be in? Any old style. Country. Okay, all right, let me see. Last night, a chocolate...
Changed my life in a country style.
In a country style.
In a country style.
Which particular country? The West Country.
West Country. A West Country. A chocolate from the West Country.
What, are there any chocolates made in the West Country? There have to be. Probably boutique chocolates. Cadbury's is from the West Country, isn't it?
Cadbury's.
So we're just doing an advert for Cadbury's, really, aren't we?
That's
is it from Birmingham?
Birmingham?
Oh, I don't know. It's all shame, isn't
it? It's from the West Country.
Right. Is that a typical West Country? I don't know if it is. It sounds more sort of... Isn't that the theme tune from... I'm sure it's a... Let's start that again, shall we? Let's... what about this? Factor. Well, you don't watch TV, don't get adverts. hurts. I'm sitting on my tractor out here in a field, keeping it so real. Off I peel the fabric that's outside the chocolate that I'm eating, which for some reason's encased in fabric, because that's how we do it in the West Country. We keep it, that is right, our tactic, tactically wrapping chocolate up, that's me. I do it nightly. I've got a small business, a very small factory. I 3D print lots of chocolates, and I won't stop it. It's earning me some money, and it's buying me some pesticides, so I can make children die, leaving them lots of chemicals. Funded by my chocolate business. And though you might think that my business strategy is twisted, I would urge you to consider that I put cider inside the chocolates. 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 And cyclocytic mushrooms.
How about that? How about that? Fantastic. The Wurzels have just been on the phone. They want it. Let's do it.
They do. It's very early, guys. I just want to say for this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
this sort of thing.
No, really appreciate it. So, Beardy, what are your plans? When you tour all over the place, I'm reading, you know, you've been in the USA, you've been working with Jack Black, is that right?
I did. I did like a show of this stuff with Jack Black, doing the sort of playing the producer role, which was interesting.
But you go all over the world. After Edinburgh, what are your plans then?
I'm doing a tour of this sort of thing, of this show around the UK, and tickets can be bought from the internet.
From the internet, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Beardy, will you stay with us? Will you stay with us for a bit longer? Because we've got so many people to cram on, and be nice if we had a nice sofa effect.
Okay.
Okay, please welcome next the one and only. It's a fantastic comedian who every time I come up to the Edinburgh Festival, I see his enormous posters, always with a fantastic title. Please welcome the wonderful Craig Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Craig.
Hello, how are we? I did love that song, by the way. Sorry for my weird title.
Yeah, that was Craig.
Last night a chocolate changed my life. I want one of those machines in my life. That's what I want.
Isn't it amazing that amongst all these people here, that one of our guests asked the question? I mean, you know, it's one in 700 people managed to ask for the song. Craig, you are here doing a show called Playing With My Selfie.
Yes, and I'm literally playing with my selfie on stage. I'm not really, actually. I always just come up with titles that are just quite fun, that I think if you passed the poster, would it make you smile? So a couple of years ago, I did a show called... My favourite title I think I ever did was Why Don't You Come Down the Front? Because people were really frightened to sit in the front of my show. And because my show's so interactive and so a lot of it's off the cuff, people know not to sit in the front. But the ones who don't, the poor, naive creatures, they're the ones I have most fun with. But I don't go too far with them. But I just have fun with the title. So it's just called Playing My Selfies, quite fun.
I remember one a few years ago, there was a kind of all-girl sketch group called the Jammy Tarts. And the title of their sketch show was You Fingered It, You Better Now Eat It.
I nearly called my show that too.
Really?
And I did a kind of parody a few years ago of a kind of Marilyn Monroe picture because I wear a kilt. And the kilt was kind of in the air and I was pushing it down and I called it Blown by a Fan. I think that was one of the cheekiest ones I've had. And I've had people in the audience who look like they would like to.
Yeah, because I saw your poster and it's you with one of those selfie sticks.
Yeah.
And I assumed that it was going to be...
That it had anything to do with the show.
Yeah, I did.
No, not at all.
I thought it was
just a fun title.
Right. Okay. But you, as you say, you improvise with the audience and all.
Yeah, and some of the things that happen I think are fantastic. Like, well, I did this gig in Australia and there was a guy in the audience, I don't think he'd ever been to comedy before, and in the middle of the show he just went, Craig, 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 Craig. And I was like, uh-huh. And he went, it's going really well, isn't it? And I was like, it was. And he went, why, what happened? I said, you just interrupted. And he went, am I not supposed to do that? I was like, have you ever been to a comedy show before? And he went, no, but I'll definitely come back. I said, do let us know. I mean, isn't that weird that somebody was just in the middle of your show? Just suddenly interrupted. And I love things like that. I love things that happen in real life. One of my favourite things that happened was I was in Inverness and there was a man in the audience. Another story I want to tell you in a second. And I said, what's your name? And he said, and he was so proud. He said, they call me Willie Hunter. I couldn't believe it. I said, they call me that as well. I mean, you just couldn't plan that. And then the other night I did a gig in Stornoway a few weeks ago. really remote place, and I asked the audience to teach me how to say I'm the only gay in the village in Gaelic. And I came back and told someone what he'd taught me, and apparently the direct translation of what he taught me was I'm the only bum boy in the district. Which I absolutely loved. I thought I should have called my show that. I should have called my show I'm the only bum boy in the district.
I'm just wondering, Beardy, I mean, when you go out there and you do this sort of improvising with you.
I like improvising.
Yeah.
I got stuck between improvisation and improvising. Improvising with the audience. Do you ever get anyone try to be deliberately sort of clever and difficult or...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've got to sort of filter that. So I actually, my tour manager, Pete, who's in the audience there amongst the throng, the 700 strong throng, you can just about make him out. He has recently been doing a lot of the filtering of the bad suggestions, because a lot of people actually just give, they just say, the Beatles, and they give the paper in, and that doesn't...
Yeah,
you do need someone to do that, don't you? Because otherwise you just have to do, you know, things that don't work.
Yeah. Although sometimes it's funny just sort of, you know, putting them down and stuff. It's weird. You have like a hat full of like heckles and you just need to... Yeah. You read them out. You're heckling yourself.
Yeah.
You say that. I mean, I saw Tim Vine doing his show a couple of years ago where people literally put in to the hat that they want to be interviewed by him. And he literally just, you know, pulls it out. And it can be, you know, please welcome John Smith. And he's a computer programmer. And he's got to make funny out of that, which I saw him do. And it was absolutely...
Does the person come on stage?
Yeah, he comes on stage. And occasionally, you know, Tim will say, right, so, you know, yeah, he says here, your hobbies are taking photographs. Ever taken photographs of, you know, I've done any really good pictures? No. And you think, look, this is not going to work. Not helping.
It's such fun opening up to the audience, though. I mean, I like... how edgy it makes your show is. Do you know, like, you must feel that when people come up with suggestions. I mean, people think, oh God, it must be terrifying. It is terrifying, but in a really exciting way. And it's so satisfying when you come up with something in the moment. Do you know, I absolutely love that kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Those are my favourite parts of my show.
Have you done set list?
Yes, I'm doing it tonight.
I'm actually doing it tonight.
It's terrifying. Did you enjoy it?
So set list, for the people that don't know, is... I really did enjoy it. Yeah, it was really good. And it's like the comedians that do it, so there's like five comedians a night, they don't know what they're going to be stand-upping about.
Yes.
And so they see the topic they're going
to
be...
So two words come up on stage and you have to do it as if you always had this set list. So it's so scary. God. But what's really nice about it is that I noticed that comedians who've been doing comedy for a long time felt like it was going back to the beginning, because it made you feel so alive and you really had to use your wit. But it's so exciting. And then you end up with this bizarre little section that you think, actually, this could be a nice piece of stand-up.
Yeah. Where is that on for anyone who's coming?
I think that's on at the Stand Comedy Club, which is quite good fun.
Stand,
it's a nice venue for
one it. It is. Yeah, it's a really kind of small little intimate thing. And it feels like everyone's in on it as well. Because last night they did a thing where they go, okay, so first it's the audience round, so you try it. And literally the audience turn to the person to your left, here's your topic, go. And I was like, and then they see how difficult it is.
Yeah,
and so then they're all kind of invested in it.
It's quite a good technique, actually, just to let the audience see that you genuinely are just kind of thinking on your feet.
Mm. So improvising or improvisating aside, Craig, what are the sort of themes you're dealing with in your show this year?
Dealing with, I think that makes it sound far too highbrow. having fun
what with jokes will you be saying
and,
on
and
your
even jokes? I never use that word either. They're just more anecdotes and stories and things that have actually made me laugh on my travels.
And they're real ones, or
they're almost all real. I mean, some of them some people. The thing that I most get commented on is whether I've had plants in the audience, and I'm so flattered. I love that. Yeah. And somebody said, "Well, you're just lucky tonight." And I said, "No, you'd have to be determined to get comedy out of every single show. I mean, spontaneous comedy." And I'm quite determined to kind of... Like the other night, four guys came in who were Spanish and they were really handsome. And I went, oh my God, it's Juan Direction. And we had such a good laugh with them. And, you know, it just occurred to me when I saw them. And then, you know, and one of them turned out to be called... He was actually Greek. And I was, you know, having a laugh about, you know, my God, they said there was a crisis. There's no crisis. And we just had, you know, it was quite good fun. I like that kind of high energy stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes I sing songs in my show as well. There's a... Well, there's a song called Last Night a BG Saved My Life. And that's what I thought of the chocolate thing when you asked for that thing. And there's a kind of, yeah, there's a kind of parody of, there was someone in the audience who was too posh and he was quite attractive, but he was too posh for me. And there's a posh bar in Glasgow called Mulgai.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing this going, nothing you could do could make me have a scoop of something, Mulgai. And just kind of, just made up this whole kind of silly song on the spot. And then some of those things end up staying in your show. And then some of the anecdotes of things that happened in your show, like that one about the guy from Australia. Do you? Because somebody came to see me in Glasgow, this Melbourne producer, and he saw me be very Scottish in front of a very Scottish audience. And then he came to Melbourne and he said, I wasn't sure if it would work. He said, and suddenly I realised it was about the people in your audience. It wasn't about you being Scottish. Yeah, so it's about what you become, whoever you find, do you know? And a lot of the people in my audience, I kind of play with their accents and where they come from and have a laugh with that as well. So
well,
a lot of Australians out there are having a fabulous time. The guys talk like that. It's so gay. It's much more gay than I am. I love it. Nicely. Big eyes guy. Big eyes guy. Big love that. It's beautiful. And I was on this flight. This actually happened. I was on this flight flying to Kuala Lumpur. And I was doing this gig for the Scottish Society of Kuala Lumpur. There is such a thing. For expats, women who used to be called Patricia. But I was doing this gig and this woman in the flight came up to me and she says, hi there. I was going via Singapore, and she went, are you Mr. Hill? And I said, yes. And she says, I've got a note here that says that you have a tight connection. I could not stop laughing. I said, it's not something I like to show off of, but I'm very proud. Loads of wee silly things that happen that make me laugh, and then you end up kind of going, actually, I could make that into something quite funny. So I just keep a note of everything on my iPhone that appeals to my sense of humour.
Well, on the subject of improvising, I wonder whether Beardy Man could, if he can hold himself up to the, I say Dex, what would you call that? That's your own invention, isn't it? That's the Beardy Man Mark II, is it?
The Beardy Man Mark II. I've made myself an electronic doppelganger of myself. I've cloned myself so that I don't know.
What is that?
Because
you did. You were using, I read this morning, you were developing some software.
Yeah, this isn't that.
Let's draw a discreet veil over that while you...
Thank God we're on the radio. We can't see.
Thank God.
No, the Beardytron is this sort of immense sort of cockpit of... Not like a pit of cocks.
Right.
Not like a sort of schlong trough. Sort of
I want to see
trough.
That show.
Yeah, that would be a whole different thing. No, this is just a looper, standard looper, off the shelf. Looper, you can find any shelf. Most shelves have one of these.
Yeah, it's just a standard looper. It's a standard looper.
Yes.
Well, with that in mind, standard or not standard, would you mind introducing our next guest, the one and only Queen of Soho, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher?
That was lovely, dear. Very good.
I've done Wake Up Maggie. I think I got something to say to you.
Oh, that's lovely. And there's so many people here. It's like a party conference, isn't it?
A Labour Party conference.
Yes. It's like a Liz Kendall fan club. So many people.
Well, I came to see you the other night, Margaret.
Oh,
and
did you
I've got to say, I was doubled over.
It was good, wasn't
it?
Oh,
it was bloody
I'm
good.
Very good. I always have been. Always have been. Very popular, dear.
Is it the 80s? Are people interested in the 80s again? What's the sudden appeal of...
People are interested in politics again, dear.
Yes.
And me. I've got Meryl to thank for that, I think. Yeah. But no, it's about the 80s. I think it's gay rights. It's everybody likes a bit of disco. You've been to see it as well,
I've
Greg,
been to see your
you?
Show. And I was going to say I was doubled over, but that sounds terrible. it was hysterical. It was absolutely hysterical. And I was so pleased it came back this year because there's so many people couldn't see it last year.
The country wanted more.
The country
they
wanted
did.
More.
Back definitely. For a second term.
For those people who are too young to remember the 80s, I remember it very well. Can you tell us something about, without being too worthy, Clause 28 and how you deal with that in the show?
Yes, Clause 28 was the law that was brought in banning the promotion of homosexuality in schools. And my show, Margaret Thatcher, Queen of Soho, is set on the eve of the vote on Section 28, and it tells the true life story of how I went from being a prime minister to a global cabaret superstar and voted the law down.
Yes.
It's slightly revisionist, but it goes down very well.
It's a really kind of fun party. I mean, from the start, everyone packed
into
the
it's Bosco. Mostly homosexuals, Dan.
It was mostly homosexuals. Yeah.
Right at home.
Yeah.
Bring your cockpit along, Dan. I love it.
But it's a kind of high camp telling of the 80s story. Yes.
And you don't have to be political to like it. No. I think there's something for everybody. It's like a Tory manifesto.
Yeah. And what do you make of the current incumbent, Mr. Cameron? Do you like him? Do you like his policies?
I wouldn't want to swear on the radio.
Not hard line enough.
No, dear, not. He's basically Tony Blair, but with less teeth.
Now, you've won so many awards for this show. You've been all over the place.
I've been everywhere. We went to Dublin. We've been to Brighton. went down with a bang in Brighton again. Yorkshire. That was lovely.
It says a glorious camp with political punch,
right.
The Times.
Yes.
Comic perfection. So gay. That's the publication, not a description.
I know.
So gay is a publication.
Yes. I actually met one of the gentlemen who reviews for So Gay. And he has to walk up and he says, oh, my name's John. And we go, So Gay? And he goes, yes.
This is the one I like. Less than respectful. Daily Telegraph.
I love that one. They hadn't even been to see the show and they put that on.
A rollicking good laugh. No matter what side of the political spectrum you sit on, that's from Neil Kinnock. So what are the plans for the show? Because it's packing out here.
We're selling out every night. We're doing extra shows now at midnight, which are much more fun. Friday and Saturday we do extra shows at midnight, where the audience is a little bit more lubricated, shall we say. And, yes, there's a lot more improvisation going on in that sort of side of it. And then we've developed a game show, Maggie Thatcher's game show On Your Bike, where two contestants compete for their unemployment benefit. So that will be developed for next year. Then we may go on tour. We're doing another London run. It's going very well, dear. Very popular.
It's worth saying too that you are accompanied by two muscle Marys.
I am. Two backing dancers.
Yes.
Hessel and Tyne.
Yeah.
The Wets, as I call them.
They're very good. It's kind of triumvirate of a political triumvirate.
Yes.
I particularly like the Paul Rutherford lookalike from Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, that's Hessel, dear. Yes.
Very good.
The tall one.
But it's so hot in there, and he has to do the whole thing in a woolly
Good. I pay him, dear. You need to make him work, dear. You need to make them work.
Right, okay. Do you think that the Labour Party are finished?
Well, I thought they were finished many years ago, dear. There's a thing about Jeremy Corbyn, is that his name?
Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn.
I don't paying attention. I remember Cleggmania. Do you remember Cleggmania?
Yes.
We go, this is it. I think there's a bit of that going on with Jeremy, I think. I think what Labour needs is someone positive, someone strong, someone more left than they're used to.
Mark Thomas.
Well, yes. Or me, dear, frankly. someone who looks good eating a bacon sandwich, I think, would be a good stuff. But no, I hope they do very well. I think it'll be a while yet before we see them back in the power. Because SNP as well are doing very well. Scotland-based Labour. Did you vote for the SNP, Craig?
Oh, we never bring up that subject.
Oh,
here.
Do we not discuss it?
Do we not?
No, it's funny. Sort of, Scotland voted no in the referendum, but yes in the general election. It's almost as if they forgot that there were any Liberal people left in England. But no, it's a very interesting time, I think, politics.
So would you say that you think that the sort of fun and the characters have gone out? I mean, there'll never be another Mikey Thatcher.
No, not at all, dear. There's no one strong enough. There's no sort of someone you can get behind. Sort of no strong leaders, I think. But I think Jeremy will win the leadership election, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he'd win a general election.
I was looking at the Daily Mail online this morning.
Never mind,
a bit of a
sidebar
guilty.
Of shame, was it?
Yeah, it was. Sidebar of shame.
What is Kim Kardashian doing today?
But it's typical of the Daily Mail. They've got a thing about how the horny housewives in sort of Surrey are going for Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, does any woman find that attractive? That sort of gristly...
I can't speak for all women.
I've not seen him. What's he look like?
He looks like a...
homeless person. Doesn't he look like a homeless person in a very bad hat?
Yeah, he's got a face like a blind cobbler's thumb.
Yes.
But, yeah...
No, he doesn't do anything for me, I'm afraid.
No, but I mean, you know, I mean, this is the same electorate who wouldn't vote, as you say, for Miliband because he eats a bacon sandwich in a funny way. I mean, you can't imagine... I mean, you sort of imagine during the war... there'd be a kind of Winston Churchill, not voting for him, the fat bastard.
No, I know
that. You know, it's kind of it's all about appearance.
Appearance.
Which, of course, with that lovely Buffon, the Pearl.
Yes, it was media that sort of brought that in, I think. The image of politics.
Now, I heard the other day, someone told me that you had have a voracious sexual appetite and that... the night of the Brighton blast, you were just preparing in the bathroom to an unexpected...
Yes, I thought, that was quick. That was quick. It's gone off already. Well, I mean, you know, relieve stress at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. Did you all find that?
Oh, yeah, I suppose, like, you would like to drain our balls every
Well, yes.
Then.
And Edinburgh's so much fun, dear. You know, there's... It's you know, easy pickings, isn't it? Lovely.
Is it you going out late at night?
Oh, well, I'm always out anyway. I'm always up working. But yes, it's very hard. Edinburgh time is a different time, isn't it?
You just have to kind of go for it, don't
Yes,
you?
Yes, 4 p.m. feels like 9 a.m. So now the time...
This is the deathly hour, isn't
Yes,
it?
This is going home time.
Craig, now, I wouldn't be so indiscreet to ask you how old you are. But
I can answer. I don't know.
What is the answer?
46.
46. Slightly younger than me. Well, you'll remember the times of... I don't know about Beardy. You're considerably younger, aren't you?
Oh, long of the tooth. Old.
Yeah, old. Lip. And you remember the Thatch.
Yes.
Thatch when she was
Those
around.
Those days.
Did she have any support in Scotland? Did she have less? The Tories have less support in those days.
Well, certainly not where I came from.
They had no support.
Glasgow. No, people were very, 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 very against her, and they thought that she would never, ever, ever. They'd never have a time where she wasn't. Well, certainly the people around where I came from in Glasgow were very.
Well, so what would with that?
I mean, she must have had, but I mean, I never knew anyone who did.
The funny thing is, after the show, because I meet the audience after the show, shake everybody's hand, let them say thank you to me personally,
and
there are many people that come up to me very quietly with Scottish accents and say, I voted for you.
Oh, God.
And then they run off.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, well, very quickly, into the night.
So she must have had
closet
supporters.
They frown at you and then they sort of wait for their friends to go and then whisper and run.
And what would you have done differently, you know, maybe in Scotland?
Well, the funny thing
Shorter skirt, maybe?
Maybe, yes. Well, it's very cold. the funny thing, I've met a lot of the general public of Scotland. And had I known that they were this clean... I would have done more for them. I definitely think so. No, but I'm doing stuff for them now, giving something back.
Right. What about your? I mean, the sort of people who come and see your gigs.
I'm doing quite a late night show this year, so generally drunk people. Yes, lubricated, shall we say? So yeah, I mean, it's a really wide sort of gamut of people. The people come from all sorts of different things because some of the stuff that I'm known for, if at all, is, you know, there's beatbox stuff, and there's more comedic stuff, and then there's more rave stuff where I'm just doing, you know, some rave music.
So, I mean, you cover all angles. I mean, there are people who like comedy and they like music. And
I always get someone coming up to me at the end being like, oh, I wish you'd have done more of whatever it was that they saw on the internet that brought them to it. But I think you always get that if you sort of, you know, if you do a bunch of different things.
I watched... Before I came out, I watched a YouTube clip. What is that video on there? It's called Mountain...
Mountainside.
Mountainside.
It's a single I just did. Which
fantastic
is,
single that you did.
Thanks. It's very kind of sort of soppy. And, you know, usually when I do a show, there's no soppiness. It's like balls to the wall.
Just explain about the video. The video is a fantastic video, and it features two young people at a rave.
Two young people who may or may not have imbibed illicit substances.
They clearly have.
And are embarking on a love tryst, which I don't want to sort of spoil the ending or anything, but it doesn't necessarily go according to plan. So it's kind of, in a way, sort of speaking out about the consequences of
taking
possibly male, you know, taking.
Without getting too heavy about this sort of thing, do you think that you're kind of young fans, rave fans?
Do you think that you're kind of young?
No, you're kind of young fans, followers, people who come to your gigs. Do you think they're politicized in any way?
Politicized. No, they're not, are they?
They don't seem to be.
I don't feel like there is any politics anymore. There's just people being dissatisfied with everything. And they're like, well, what's
that
the solution?
That is politics, dear. People are never happy. Never happy.
Well, so everything is political. So, it sort of cancels out, you know.
Well, it's just, I did a gig down in Brighton. When we were talking about that Clegmania, it was one of those first televised events where they're all lined up. And it was at... Do you know David Earl? Does Brian Gittins? He's a. Everyone's shaking their head. I'm sorry, David, if you're listening, but we turned up there and I said, "Oh, are we going to get an audience? Because it's the hustings," and some kind of right on Brighton Pont said to me, "Oh, look, you know, we're just really free down here in Brighton. We don't care about that. I mean, people much rather just go out and just look at the sunset on the sea and drink their beer." And I thought, "Well, you're a fucking idiot, then, you know."
Yeah. Well, it's about all it takes for David Cameron to prevail is for 38 Degrees to do nothing.
I think that's what happens, isn't it? People, that kind of apathy. And
I think, I don't know, I think it's disappearing. The idea, the way it used to be in your time, milady, was milady. That, you know, you had these sort of...
Me gentlemen.
In, although you look fantastic for...
Thank you.
For
yes.
Your advanced state of decay. But it's, you know, it's...
don't believe everything you read in the media.
No, I think, you know, there used to be these political factions and it was all based on the old technology, yeah. You know, that the political system was based on. And now everyone's just really annoyed. It's more like corporations versus everyone's actual interests.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, I think that's more what it is.
I feel that I brought us down quite a serious cul-de-sac, man.
Serious conversation.
I blame Mark Thomas. He said,
well, he did, didn't he? He
said, no, really.
And he didn't like my shaking cow joke, which I thought was quite good. And from then on, it was kind of... Craig, tell me about tonight. What if I came along, what could I expect?
Me being very provocative, I think, with the audience. Me just having a bit of a giggle, as I said. Lots of songs for adverts. I keep on thinking of when I see supermarkets. I keep on thinking, God, I wish they'd approach me because I keep on thinking of songs for them. Like the other day, I was thinking, like, Aldi should get together with the Kinks and should go to the. And I was going to be quite funny if they were doing, do you know, girl, we need some condoms and wine all of the time. Aldi is open all night. And I thought that'd be quite fun. And I always, and then I was doing this one where I was going, T-E-S-C-O. We need to go, well, we need T, Thai food, Tetley, E, eggs and bacon, S, salt and sugar, C, big cucumber, and O, still thinking of a big cucumber. And I keep on thinking of ideas like that. So things like that just come out on stage. Like silly things like that.
Can you come do my show?
Yeah. Yes.
Can I just do the music?
I have to be honest. I've seen somebody who was... Rob Deering uses something, a pedal, and I love that kind of comedy, and it just makes me want to go buy one. Even if nobody else was listening, I would just sit in my house playing with that.
Shall we do a collab?
Yes.
Oh, how about that?
I'd love to do that.
Shall we?
How about that?
All right.
Maggie, could you recommend something? Can you give us a suggestion for what the lads can do?
Ooh, what do we need? Do we need to three?
What is it? I mean,
is it three things, or what do you need, Dev?
Make up the title of a song that hasn't been written yet.
Make up the title. We shall write it.
I think that's a great game.
Yeah. Greg's cheese and onion pasties ruined my life.
Greg's cheese and onion pasties ruined my life.
It's true, dear.
Okay. What kind of genre would you like, sir?
What about 80s? Something for 80s.
The 80s.
Bit of 80s.
The best of the eras.
Cheese and onion, Greg's cheese and onion pasties ruined my life. It's Margaret Thatcher's suggestion.
In an 80s styley.
She's right. Up on the table. She's ready to go.
Thank you. always being served by someone called Margaret. It's always someone called Margaret who works in Greg's. Margaret. Five it in the tell, Margaret Greg's.
Oh, Margaret working in Greg's. Getting a taste of what it's like to be one of the proletariat.
Oh my God.
That was as much fun as I thought it would be.
That was absolutely brilliant. Margaret, let me help you up. She's just been doing an oops upside your head, 80s style.
Anyway, so talented.
Oh, that was so much fun. I've always wanted to do that.
Oh, Margaret, what do you miss about those times? I mean, did you go out clubbing in those times too?
Oh, yes, dear. The 80s. Much more fun. Yeah. Drinks were cheaper as well.
Yeah.
And you could smoke inside.
Well, Club Tropicana, the drinks were free. They're charging nowadays with the recession, aren't they?
Easy jet flight now, dear. You have to book it all yourself. No package holiday.
No, love. That was absolutely sensational.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, well, pure magic. Pure magic.
No, you're not allowed to do that anymore. Goodness gracious, what? Right, no. A top hit, you'll say. No, better stop that now. Now, as you know. No, that's enough. So,
the audience coming up with the name of a song. I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah,
and they genuinely know you're doing it on the spot, which is fantastic. Yes. That's really hard to do.
It's you have to tell them, otherwise they're like, why is this sucking so bad?
And then yeah.
No, occasionally, and when I do the show...
I'm going to call my show that.
You should, yeah, that's a good one. No, there's always two or three songs in every show I do that are really good.
Good.
Well, so can you just remind us what time you're on and where?
I'm on
Margaret?
9 p.m. at the Bosco tent at Assembly George Square Gardens.
Right.
And then I'm at 12 o'clock on Friday and Saturdays as well, midnight shows.
Okay.
Cool.
It is worth saying that the real confusion I found up here is there's Assembly Hall, Assembly Rooms, there are various Assembly venues. There's George Square, George Street.
Just assemble,
everybody. And there's Pleasance, this one. Just be pleasant with each other and assemble. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Gild your balloon.
Gild your balloon.
That's what I would do.
And
get under your belly. Get under your belly. That's what to do.
Maggie, it's been an absolute joy.
I know it has.
To have you here. Can you lot see each other's shows or do they all clash?
What time are you on, dear?
I'm on at 7:15.
Oh, I could come and then run really quickly. After.
Come and run? Yeah. It's quite a skill. Let's do that.
Down your leg.
Okay. And you said about you want to do something next year about on your bike, maybe.
Yes.
Is that what you're really planning to do, or is there something...
Ooh, there's lots of things in the pipeline, dear. Lots of things in
the pipeline. I've heard.
Yes.
We are going to play out with Beardy Man in a minute.
What time are you on, Beardy, dear?
11:15 in Pleasance Grand.
We could go to that. That's
11:15.
We could go together.
I'm on at 7:15 at the EICC.
Then you come and see me at 9.
This would be a perfect night out.
Perfect night, dear.
Beardy, I'm going to ask you to go back to your decks, the Beardytron. We are going to play out very shortly. We've had a lovely time. Have you enjoyed it, ladies and gentlemen? Hasn't it been lovely? Hasn't it been lovely? What
it's
wonderful
lovely.
Guests.
Raucous applause.
Raucous applause.
Yeah, do calm down.
Okay, we're gonna have to go in a minute. We're gonna play out with Beardy and this is your choice now. Whatever you would like to do.
Okay. It's funny to me that nobody has ever seen Mark Thomas and Margaret Thatcher in the same room. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. I don't think that that this incidence of lack of Mark Thomas is a coincidence. I think he went down and did a blag. He went out and then he got dressed up in drag. And here he is sitting back at the table doing exactly what he wants to do. I think that he's able to be himself truly when he's dressed up as Margaret Thatcher. He really is a Tory, but he just can't tell you atcha, da-cha, da-cha, da-cha. He wants a gun, but burning up in the burning sun. Having fun. It's fun to be Tory. It's really never boring. You can persecute the poor, persecute the poor, persecute them, persecute the poor, persecute the poor, persecute them, destroy the disadvantaged, take away their benefits. They must be destroyed.
Thanks.
Hey, how about that? Beardy Man.
That's my new campaign song right there.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, gotcha. So we've had, what have we learned today? We've learned an awful lot.
I think I've learned that's how you end a show.
That is how you
fun.
End a show. But we maybe learned to time it slightly better because we've now got another minute or so to go. Oh, God.
Oh, sorry, I'll do it.
Before he starts, just thank you very much for listening, everyone. We have had Craig Hill. We've had Margaret Thatcher, Queen of Soho. We've had Beardy Man. We've had Mark Thomas. My name is Alex Lowe. We're back tomorrow with Lou Sanders and guests, including Sophie Hagen and loads more. I love you, every one of you.
Hey!
FUBAR Radio presents.
Let me there.
Good afternoon, sir.
I can play the harmonica.
There you are. I got the FUBAR blues.
It's a fucking maniac.
You know what? I've loved this. This is the best one I've had on air in a very, very long time. Since this morning. So,
1 p.m. Every Monday.
Alex Lowe, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.